Jeremy and Jenny, I understand, are in Corpus Christi today visiting Jenny's parents. So continue to pray for their family and Joanna. And so I have the opportunity to speak with the congregation this morning. And so through some prayer and fasting, I came up with the topic of fasting. How many of you heard a sermon on fasting before? Probably very few. Not something that we talk about a lot. But before I share with you some thoughts from God's Word on that topic and why I think it's important to address this morning, I want to note my friends here from Austin, Miles and Carolyn Wilson and Daryl. I've known them for years and years. We did the prison ministry together years and years ago. Carolyn, when she was a young, beautiful woman, she still is a young, beautiful woman, was in my dad's Bible class at the University of Texas. And I think in the story, Miles, you saw her from afar, and it was this beautiful vision, and then here we are today. Yeah, that's kind of the way that went. And then also, my neighbors are here today, Jack and Allie. Be sure you get to know them. We caught Allie out there pulling weeds, and so we're excited to see you guys this morning. And, of course, John and Jill right here. Jordan's parents are here from Austin. So they didn't know I was going to be preaching today. I didn't know I was going to be preaching today until Wednesday. So, I guess you'll have to endure. We sang a couple of songs this morning. We sang More of You, God, Set a Fire in My Soul. We said, what our hearts hunger for. What are your heart? What's your heart hunger for this morning? Your name is power. Break every stronghold. I'd recommend a little book here. I'm getting some thoughts from. It's called Fasting for Spiritual Breakthrough by Elmer Towns. So if you want to read more about the subject of fasting, you might want to take that reference. That's Fasting for Spiritual Breakthrough. A foreword was by Bill Bright, and it was kind of interesting. He talked about how so many of the revivals that he led were with 30-day fasts before it happened. And it was just amazing to see what God did when they put fasting and prayer at the forefront. So some of you might be asking, well, why in the world are you preaching on fasting? Well, there's a personal story behind that. One of my goals for this year in my life was to grow in my prayer life. And what I'm going to suggest to you this morning is that the discipline of fasting can sort of synergize your prayer life. It's done that for me. It's broken down strongholds that I was praying for. So if you're sitting there this morning, and maybe there's something you've been praying about and you've been struggling with for years, and you haven't had a breakthrough on, I want to challenge you, maybe when we're through at the end of the sermon today, you will join me in going deeper with God in that area. I will love to hear stories of when you take that step, what God does in your life. So a lot of us might be sitting there going, well, I don't really understand this whole fasting thing. What is fasting? Should I fast? And if so, why and how? And is there any connection between fasting and prayer? I see that in Scripture. What is the connection? And what is there any medical science about just the physical aspects of fasting? Is there any parallels between what happens when I physically fast and the spiritual aspect of that, of what God has created in our bodies? Is there a component there that I can learn something about? And what does the Bible have to say about fasting? What does the What is the theology of fasting in the Bible? Those might be all questions that some of you might be asking yourself. I asked myself the same questions when I wanted to go deeper into prayer because I thought that was a part of my life that needed a lot of improvement. I've had an opportunity to study under a lot of really good Bible teachers, and what a blessing that is. But I feel like I'm still just at the beginning of really going deeper in my relationship with the Lord in prayer and fasting. So, I don't know if you're familiar with a book written by John Piper. It's called Hungering for God. And Jesus says, blessed are those, happy are those, how fulfilled are those that hunger and thirst for righteousness. What's going to happen? They'll be filled. They'll be satisfied. And so hopefully you can feel my passion this morning to try to convey to you, let's go deeper in our hungering for God. Let's go find out more about a closer, more intimate relationship with God. Would fasting help us with that? Well, I think so. Now, Jeremy, I spoke with him yesterday at the work day. By the way, great work day, Kim. Amazing what seeing everybody come together and do their little part. And so he just completed a 3-part series on prayer, guys. And I was talking to him a little bit about what the Lord had put on my heart. And he thought it would be so appropriate to bring the fasting component in with the prayer series we're at. So that's kind of what's on my heart this morning. Anyway, y'all familiar, some of you, with, I forget his name now, Francis Chan. I want to read to you something he says here. What is at stake here? Not just the good of our souls, but also the glory of God. God is most glorified in us when we are more satisfied in Him. And then I thought of the verse, Christ in you, the hope of glory. You're familiar with that passage. The fight of faith is a fight to feast on all that God is for us in Christ. Now, we're going to have a feast here in a few minutes. And you thought, wow, that's kind of weird. Here you're preaching on fasting, and then we're going to all feasting. So what I want to submit to you this morning is we love to talk about going to feasts. We love to do church things with food. But how many people show up for prayer and fasting? Right? And we might have that reversed. There might be a greater hunger that can be filled when we realize God can only fill that real hunger we have. He says, what we hunger for most is what we worship. His goodness shines with brightest rays when we delight in all His ways, delighting in the Lord. My grandfather would always read Psalm 1, blessed are those who delight in the law of the Lord. Do you delight in the words of God? His glory overflows His rim when we are satisfied in Him. This is Francis Chan. His radiance will fill the earth when people revel in His worth. Do you realize what a treasure we have? The Bible says it's an earthen vessel. Do you realize the good news that we have to a hungry, confused, chaotic world? The beauty of God's holy fire burns brightest in the heart's desire. So what is your greatest desire this morning? Do we agree with the lyrics of the song taken from the words of the psalmist? As a deer panteth for water, so my soul longs for thee. You alone, Jesus, are my heart's desire. and I long to worship you. You know, there's many biblical examples of fasting in the Bible, and we don't have time to go through all those, and I encourage you to make that study. But we have Moses, fasted 40 days and 40 nights in getting God's law to give to the people. We have David, fasted many, many times. Hannah, in the story of Samuel. Daniel, we're going to look at Daniel in chapter 10, so go ahead and be turning over there right now. Elijah, Esther, Nehemiah, Ezra, all these Old Testament folks were heavily involved in not only fasting for themselves, but asking the whole congregation of Israel to fast with them. And then in the New Testament, you have Anna, the prophetess. Remember her? Says that she was daily involved at the temple with prayer and fasting. Cornelius, remember Cornelius? John the Baptist. Of course, Jesus, and we're going to talk about that. And Paul, you remember when he had the encounter on the road to Tarsus, and he lost his vision, and then he, for 5 days, and he fasted and prayed. And early church leaders, remember when they sent out Paul from Antioch? They prayed, they fasted, and then it says the Holy Spirit said, hey, you need to send Paul and Barnabas out. And of course, we have 2/3 of the New Testament as a result of that prayer and fasting, that beginning stage, and it really sets a precedent for whenever we're looking at a new work, to put that before the Lord and to pray and to lean into God and to fast into that. Well, let's look at an example of this in chapter 10. Now, I have 11:30. How much time do I really have? Do I have till 12? Okay, that's good. Because you know how these preachers are. They like to go on and on and on. So, you never heard anybody complain about that sermon was too short. Well, we get excited, guys. I'm just excited about the Word of God. So, when you look at this example of Daniel in chapter 10, one of my favorite people in the Old Testament, by the way, Daniel had a commitment to prayer and fasting. In fact, he had a reputation for that. In fact, it was so, you were so sure that Daniel was going to be praying to God that he was going to open his doors every day and do that, that that's the way his enemies tried to trap him and get him put away, right? Because they knew his habits. Well, Daniel now is about 84 years old, okay, in chapter 10. He's been in Babylon all these years now, and he's encountering on a 21-day fast. Now, I've never done a 21-day fast. Probably should do a 21-day fast. It'd be incredible. But we don't really know exactly what's going on with Daniel here. We think possibly he's fasting and mourning because there's only 50,000 Jews that have gone back to reestablish Jerusalem. You remember a 70-year captivity period, and then finally they get the opportunity from Cyrus to go back and resettle Jerusalem. And out of the scads of people that could have gone, only 50,000 actually went back. So he might have been really sad about that. You know, he felt like he could do more because he was high up in the government, he'd have a greater influence, and God had kind of put him in that position, working with all kinds of rulers over that period of time, that's where God wanted him to be. So was he praying for that reestablishment of God's people back in Jerusalem? Or was he praying about the severe opposition that the people, once they went back, in trying to rebuild the temple? Maybe you've had that experience in your life where you try to rebuild something and then it just seems like you run into obstacle after obstacle after obstacle. Whatever it was, if that was it or if it was something else, he saw the need to go into a 21-day period of where he was going to seek the Lord with all of his heart and see what the Lord would do. And I want to start off in about verse 11. This is when he has a divine encounter with an angel. And check this out. This is a fascinating read. Then he said to me, "Do not fear, Daniel." You ever notice that in the Bible? When angels encounter us, they say, "Hey, don't fear." Well, because that's a pretty incredible experience, right? "Do not fear, Daniel, for from the first day," did you catch that? "From the first day that you set your heart to understand and to humble yourself before your God." Now, guys, I'm going to give you a little hint. Whenever you see "humble yourself" a lot of times in the Old Testament, do you know what that's synonymous with? Fasting. Humility and fasting, the Hebrew word is actually bend the knee, is what that means. And the idea is that is a way that you actually humble yourself in the sight of the Lord. You know the verse, "Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and He will lift you up." Right? So out at the prison, Daryl, we'd always say, you know, it's very painful if God has to humble you. You will be humbled. But humble yourself, okay? And He will promote you. He will lift you up, right? So anyway, Daniel is fasting and he's humbling himself. And he's gaining understanding. Look at verse 1. It says that God's word came to Daniel, if you look at verse 1, and it says that he understood God's word. Sometimes we receive God's word, but we don't fully understand it. But he got the understanding on top of the knowledge. And that's another thing I would submit to you during fasting, that God can speak to us in our prayers and fasting, and as we're studying His Word, we get revelation. And Daniel got revelation here. And look at the next thing he says. "And I have come because of your words." Okay, let me see if I understand this. Okay, Daniel starts praying. He's been fasting. And 21 days later, this angel shows up and says, "You know what? God's been answering your prayer from the first day." Because some of us sometimes, you know, we pray about things and we don't get the results that we think God should do for us. And God's timing is different. And He has all kinds of reasons that I will never understand as to why He does that. And you could conjecture as to why He waited 21 days here for Daniel. Maybe it was for Daniel to lean more into the Lord and trust Him. Think about this, guys. Jesus sees the disciples. He breathes the Holy Spirit into them. And He says, "Hey, I want you to go over to Jerusalem. I want you to wait from power on high." So think about this. Okay, all right, I'm waiting. Oh, well, he resurrected in 3 days. So I bet it's going to be 3 days. I bet that's when we're going to get the power. 3 days goes? No. Oh, five. The five comes up a lot in the Bible. 5 days. Seven. What's going on? It's taking a long time. We've been sitting here a while. Right? And then in Acts 2, what happens to Peter? The same guy that a few days ago, have you checked that sermon out? He's on fire, literally and spiritually. And look at all that revelation. Look at all that scripture he's reciting. This is a fisherman, guys. And that time, waiting on the Lord, leaning into the Lord, praying into the Lord, being dependent on the Lord, that's the same thing that's going on with Daniel here. Now look what this angel tells him. He says, "But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. You mean to tell me, guys, that in the spiritual realm, in the spiritual realm of wickedness, You mean there's people over geographical areas? You mean there's entities that they're satanic strongholds over whole countries, over whole regions? And so this angel's been fighting a spiritual warfare. Do we really realize what's going on out here, guys? What's really happening in Israel? What's really happening over here? Where the real forces are? The spiritual warfare. Why do you think all these crazy things are going on? We saw a thing in Bible class today about what's going on in Israel. And all over, it's a global thing, right, Sid? Who's inspiring all that? And he's got a lot of helpers. Bible says we're not fighting a war of flesh and blood, but of principalities, of powers, of dominions. So why would we be surprised? Because we're in the last days, guys. And it's just going to ramp up. So we shouldn't be surprised. Anyway, this is the kind of thing that's going on that Daniel's experiencing here. And Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me. That's, you know who Michael is. For I had been left alone there with the kings of Persia fighting this thing. And then Michael come over and help him. Now I've come to make you understand what will happen to your people in the latter days, for the vision refers to many days yet to come. From the first day, okay, I want to key in on a few phrases here in this passage. And the first one is, from the first day, your words were heard. Did you know all your prayers are stored in heaven in bowls? Did you know that? Did you know your prayers are special to God? God responded to Daniel's prayer the very moment he made his request known. Now, Daniel didn't know that. Next thing. I have come because of your words. What can we learn from this? An angel was dispatched because of Daniel's words in his prayer. This is another reminder, guys, that prayer matters. Prayer matters. Words matter. The Bible says that your words have the power of life and death. Did you know that? Did you know just your attitude, just the things you can say to people at work or around you, have the ability to discourage or encourage? And I guess another lesson that we learn from this passage is we're in a real warfare here, guys. And it's life and death for folks. One of the things that when you've had 3 open heart surgeries, you're not really concerned about whether you're going to do another real estate deal. It's not in your rearview mirror. Folks, Fran and I want to finish well. And we want to finish fighting for the Lord Jesus Christ. How about you? We can do that better, church, as we lean in to prayer and fasting, is what I believe. Will you grow with me in that area? Let's do it. Next passage there says, now I have come. Now I have come. 21 days later, now I have come. Why now? Well, you think that God allowed this kind of conflict because he had a purpose in allowing it. A purpose for Daniel might have been for him to learn persistence in prayer is not necessary because God's reluctance needs to be overcome. Rather, it is to train us. You trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight. Earnest prayer and fasting activate spiritual warfare against the enemy. Ephesians 6, 2:12. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. God reveals His word and gives His understanding of His word to Daniel. Now that's one reference. Let's look over at Isaiah 58, if you want to highlight that. And we're going to pick out just a few things there. I wish we had more time. And there's this idea of the right spirit of fasting. In other words, it's like a lot of things in life. There's a right way to do it, and there's a wrong way to do it. Do you remember what Jesus said about the wrong way to do it? Want to be seen. What do, Daryl? They want to have this gloomy face. You know, I'm super spiritual. That means I never smile because I'm a pious, righteous man, right? Jesus says that's a bunch of hogwash. Okay, that's not the translation there. So in Isaiah 58, God talks about, you guys got the wrong attitude when it comes to fasting. He says, you're doing this fasting thing, but you're taking advantage of people all around you. You're not treating the people, I'm paraphrasing, you're not treating the people that you work with good. Do you think I care about your fasting when you treat your fellow person like that? And he says in verse 3, he says, you know why you don't have your prayers answered? You ever wondered about that? God, why aren't you answering my prayers? He said, God tells them why they're not having their prayers answered. He's saying, you know, you're doing fasting in a hollow, empty, showy way, and there's no spiritual substance behind what you're doing. He says, if you want to fast the way that pleases me, begin getting right with your brothers and sisters. Stop oppressing people and reach out to others. Love others. God asked the question in that text. He says, is this not the fast that I have chosen to loose the heavy burdens, to break every yoke? Do you remember what Jesus, one of the things that Jesus accused the Pharisees of? He says, instead of you removing a burden from somebody, you put a greater burden on them. You're supposed to be about bearing one another's burdens and thus fulfilling my law. That's what I'm about. And you're putting burdens on people. Well, God says, I can't honor a fast like that. And then verse 11 in that chapter, he says, and the Lord will guide you continually. Now, this is what happens when you do it the right way. Don't we need this to happen in our life? And the Lord will guide you continually. That's what I want. How about you? And satisfy your soul in drought. You ever had a drought in your life? You ever feel like you need some water? And strengthen your bones. That's becoming more important as I'm getting older. And you shall be like a watered garden and like a spring of water whose waters never fail. And look what he says you'll be called. You'll actually get a name. This is fantastic. He says you're going to be called the repairer of the breach. He says you're going to be called the restorer of the streets. He says, you know what? When you approach me in earnestness and prayer and fasting, and when I start honoring you because you honor me, you're going to be in the building business. You're going to be in the business of stepping in the gap for other people. You remember when they were rebuilding the wall, and you remember one person had to have a weapon, and the other person had a trowel making bricks or whatever. And so to keep the enemy, because Can you imagine? I mean, I've had to go through a lot of adversity working on my rent houses, but I've never had to worry about, you know, having to defend it with a weapon while I was doing it. But that was Nehemiah saying, you know what? I need somebody that can stand in the gap. Aren't you glad when people can stand in the gap for you? Do you think I was happy when I lost my vision and I'm sitting up in the hospital feeling sorry for myself? And then my wife goes to the elders of the church and says, I want y'all to come up here because James says, anyone who's sick, let him ask the elders to pray over him and anoint your head with oil and you'll be healed. And she goes up there on a Sunday night and she drags them up there and they pray over me. And Lorraine's over there by me, a new nurse, and I'm talking to her. And God restores my sight. That's a moment where you're sitting there. There's not anything you can do for yourself. There's not a thing. You are helpless. And someone stands in the gap for you. That's what I'm talking about. Did you know that God has made you a repairer of the breach? That He's made you a restorer of the streets? Do we live in a broken world? In every direction, do you see a few breaches? And some of them are wide. Some of them are deep. Some of them are saying, you know what? There's so many knots in your rope. I think it's going to take the Holy Spirit a minute to untie all these. There's broken hearts. There's broken homes. Remember the disciples? They were casting out they tried to cast out the demon out of this boy that was convulsing and playing on the ground. And John, they couldn't do it. And the Father comes and says, hey, Jesus, your disciples couldn't cast this demon out. Can you help us out here? This is my son. And Jesus commands him. He comes out. And then later on, they're sitting down, and one of the disciples comes to Jesus and says, you know what? Because they were kind of embarrassed, you know. And why weren't we able to do that? I mean, you showed us how to do this. We've been kind of doing it. And I think I was saying what you were saying. And do you remember what Jesus said? Some of those situations, only prayer and fasting. Why is that? Because the devil tries to get a foothold. Is the devil satisfied with a foothold? He wants a stronghold. And the Bible means, when we look at that word stronghold, the Bible, it's the idea of a fortress. In other words, you think of a foothold, you're climbing up a mountain, right? Maybe you're trying to get to the fortress. There's just a little place to put your foot. But see, the devil wants a stronghold. And so there are situations, I don't know if you've ever experienced demon possession in your life. I have. And it's a very sobering experience to try to help people in that situation. Unfortunately, the story that I had to tell you about my experience was I was very young. I was very zealous for the Lord, but I didn't have the anointing that I believe that I should have had at that point to be able to help this young man. And I was super freaked trying to help him. Now, God protected me in the situation. I tell you many other stories where God protected me in ministry and situations. But I was not able to really help him. Okay? So I'd been like one of those disciples at that time. Of course, I knew nothing about prayer and fasting in that sense. Would that have made a difference? I don't know, but I can tell you one thing. When a parent brings witchcraft into a home and brings that kind of darkness into a home, and then I'm talking to a 16-year-old kid that can speak seven different languages, And I can't begin to tell you how vile and with what vitriol. And it was very apparent to me that this person's demon-possessed. And so I don't know if you've ever had situations. I've been in real estate where I've had to go into homes and, you know, pray over. I had people actually ask me to come and pray over a home that they thought that kind of situation. I'm not sure if you've experienced that, friend. Oh, 5 minutes. Good night. Are you serious? Well, we might have to do a part two. I only get two opportunities a year to preach here, so. Anyway, I'm going to give you some references in the Bible, and you can study them on your own. If you want to write these down, Ezra 8:21, 2 Chronicles 23. Guys, you got to read 2 Chronicles 20. Awesome. Awesome. Jehoshaphat does a fast and praying of all of Israel. They have this incredible victory. Can you imagine what would happen in the United States? Can you imagine if President Biden or Trump said, you know what? As a whole nation, we're going to take time to pray and fast and seek the Lord. Can you imagine? Well, I'll tell you what happened in 2 Chronicles 20. I'm not going to tell you the whole story because I want you to go read it. Is that when that happened, the Spirit of God showed up big time. Prophesied, they got revelation. And God says, you know what? I got this. And they got a huge victory. And read that whole story. It's incredible. Story of the power of a nation actually coming together in prayer and fasting. And I was going to get into the whole idea of how with prayer and fasting, we can do that in a lot of different ways other than just with ourselves. We could do that as a congregation. We could do that as a city. Wonderful, we could do it as a nation. I don't think we're there yet, but it would be awesome if we were. So I'm going to try to tie up a few quick ends, the few minutes I've got. What is fasting? It's a willful abstaining of pleasures. Guys, that didn't have to be just food. That could be TV, social events, distractions. For a spiritual purpose, a personal commitment to renounce the natural, the flesh, and to lean into the spiritual. Fasting is not a diet. It's a commitment. It's a devotion. Why do we fast? Why do we do that? We fast because we're hungry for God's Word and God's Spirit in our lives. We fast because we long for God's glory to resound in the church and God's praise to resound in Bastrop County, state of Texas, and all the nations. We fast because we yearn for God's Son to return and God's kingdom to come. Ultimately, we fast simply because we want God more than we want anything else in this world. Fasting doesn't change God, it changes us. 2, fasting gives us a greater capacity to get rid of the junk in our pipes. I'm going to give you a little metaphor. God is this 50,000-gallon tank of water. He's got all that we need. Says He can supply all of our needs. But I just have this little pipe. Okay? And I got a lot of gunk in my pipe. To where it should come out like this, but it's all filled up with a bunch of junk, and only this much gets through. Right? What do we know? I didn't get a chance to get into all the physical, but I'm going to hit you with one thing. In the physical realm, we know the Nobel Prize winner, 2015, discovered autophagy. You know what autophagy is? we learned that only from fasting can autophagy be produced. What happens? There's a self-eating part where actually your cells go in and clean all the junk up out of your body. And that's why physically, just on a physical level, God made this machine. Fasting is awesome. You got people that are in stage 4 cancer. One guy in particular, he just stopped eating. He just started fasting. They said, you should just go home and die, guy. Started fasting. Cancer went away. All the gunk went away. Body cleaned itself out. Some of us need a spiritual autophagy. Fasting, spiritually, can go in and clean our pipes out. You catch my metaphor? Where we can catch more of God wants the power of the Holy Spirit that God wants to produce in our life. But our pipes are clogged up. Physically, spiritually, emotionally. And we need a spiritual autophagy. Now, I didn't even get into the other stuff. Human growth hormone that only comes through fasting. What's the other thing? There's another thing. There's about 3 or 4 metabolical things that occur. But on the spiritual level, it's even more pronounced. So fasting not only does that, it gives us a greater capacity. It also, folks, fasting is not an option, but a necessity. I want to argue this morning, it is a necessity because it's commanded. Jesus says, and when you fast. He didn't say if you fast. He says, and when you fast, this is the way you need to do it. Jesus baptized, and it says the Spirit took him into the wilderness, guys, for 40 days and 40 nights. And what's the first thing that Satan comes up against? Food. And imagine that, guys. And the scriptures say in verse 3 that Jesus was hungry. Well, I guess so. After 40 days, you'd be hungry too, wouldn't you? And what did Jesus say? He says, that's what I'm really hungry for. And Jesus says, I am the bread of life. In fact, he told the disciples, are you going to go away from me? And why was everybody leaving? I mean, he fed 5,000 people. That was pretty cool, right? They got their bellies filled. He says, you know what? If you want to be my disciple, you got to eat meat. And they said, whoa, time out. I didn't sign up for that. And so that's what we're talking about here. So fasting is that opportunity to realize my need and necessary. You know another thing that happens with fasting? It breaks habits. It breaks cravings. It breaks strongholds. It breaks addictions. If you don't believe me, try it. Just try it. Now, I want to tell you guys, if you haven't ever done it before, do you remember how Jeremy talks about go slow? Go slow. If you haven't fasted your whole life, don't go do a 21-day fast, okay? That's not a good thing. I'm not trying to tell you that. But you might miss a meal. You might then miss 2 meals. You might then do a day. You might then do 3 days. You might do 5 days. You might do 7 days. Because you know what they've learned on the physical level? There's things that only happen with time. They figured this thing out. And in the spiritual realm, there's only certain things that can happen as you're trying to go with time. Daniel didn't just do a 21-day fast from day one. He was doing that from the time he was a kid. He's 84 years old now. There was a spiritual maturity that had to go on in his life to even see the need for that. So if you need a reset, if you're struggling with something in your life that gets all your attention, consider fasting. You know what else? Fasting helps quiet the heart to hear from God. It helps eliminate distractions. The spirit, guys, becomes more important than the body. The first day, I'll tell you the truth, it's not that easy, especially if you haven't done it before. But guys, if you've been doing it a while, if you've been practicing it for a while, you know, after day one, day three, day four, day five, it's a no-brainer. And you know what happens? You really are more relaxed. Your spirit is more predominant. Or you lose your cravings. You don't have those cravings. You want to give up some cravings? Do some fasting. Now watch this, guys. They did a study. How much time in your day is involved in eating? By the time you buy the food, prepare the food, cook the food, clean the food up, you know what the average is? 10 hours a day. You know I'm telling the truth. Now, guys, let me ask you a question. We don't have time for prayer. What if you had another 10 hours where you could sit down and read God's Word? We're out of time. So, we're going to quit here. Last thing is, fasting creates a greater intimacy with God, I think you'll find. So, if I did my job this morning, I'm asking you as a congregation to join me on my journey to go deeper with God into prayer and fasting. And I know and I trust that our relationship with our Lord will be deeper and greater things will come from this body as we lean into that. Thank you for your kind consideration and listening to me this morning. And God be with you and bless you as we encounter that, our God, in a deeper and greater way. Amen. Absolutely, brother. You can take this one right here.